Hi, it's great to have your company. My name is Simon Smart. You're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity. Well, this week it's International Day of Persons with a Disability. It's a day that aims to promote an understanding of people with disability and to encourage the support for their dignity and their rights and well-being. It's a great day. It provides an opportunity to raise awareness about the way people with a disability experience life and discrimination.
And I'm really pleased to have in the studio Jessica King, who's a student of linguistics, a bit of a word nerd, let's be honest. And you like to crochet, I believe, and eat a lot of chocolate.
Yeah, that's an interesting description, but I guess mostly accurate, yes.
Yes. And you also live with cyanotic congenital heart disease.
Yes, that's right.
And we'll hear more about that in a second. But just to set it all up, the other day you tweeted to me that society views strength in illness as success because the ill can't be successful in other accepted ways. And that you, quote, will punch the next person who says, you've done well considering all you've been through. Now, I think I might have actually have used that line on you in the past, so I'm really sorry about that. But can you walk us through why you want to resort to violence in those circumstances?
Okay. It's quite a frustrating comment to get because I don't see my disability as something that needs to be conquered or, you know, I've gone to uni despite having a disability. It's just something that I do because it's what everybody does at a certain point. You finish high school, you go to uni, you do it. When you say despite your disability, it kind of actually makes me feel that I haven't actually achieved all that much, but, you know, thanks.
Jessica, can you tell us a little bit about the nature of this quite unpronounceable disease you have?
Basically, I have a hole in my heart that was not detected, and so they didn't repair it, which then went on to affect my lungs. So I go beautiful colours of blue when I'm breathless or when it's cold. I can't walk very far. Stairs are quite frightening.
But it sort of restricts some of what you can do physically.
Yeah, absolutely. Certainly can't walk. I can't run.
No. And so it's just getting around town. Is that somewhat of a challenge as well?
It's incredibly frustrating, especially in Sydney where there's no parking. Disabled parking is always taken up. It's very expensive. When we move houses, you have to be very aware of where the bus stop is. But not only where it is, but if it's up a hill. Because if it's up a hill, I can't get to the bus stop. I can get home from the bus because I can go downhill, but not uphill.
Yeah, that's actually a really powerful thing that you're saying because you're talking about the way that disability is a social phenomenon as well because the environment is constructed in such a way that it is disabling. It actually makes you even more limited, perhaps, than you might already be. Now, Thomas Reynolds, he's a theologian and he's got a son with Asperger's, OCD, Tourette's, bipolar. Thomas Reynolds once said that he thought that the basic question of human existence was whether there was welcome at the heart of things. This idea, can I be welcomed in my difference or am I going to be, you know, stigmatised or, you know, made to feel patronised? And so Reynolds' point is that the way that disability gets talked about, gets treated, gets patronised, all emphasise a profound unwelcome to people with disability. Does that capture something of what you're talking about here?
I think so. Things have been improving a little bit, but then you kind of wonder whether a lot of the getting disabled into work programs and stuff are just a little bit concerning because I worry that if I tick the box that says, you know, yes, I have a disability and I need, you know, a lift or something, that I will get picked not because of my ability but because I fit, you know, I'm a woman and I'm disabled and that's why I'm there, not because I have a particular skill.
Yeah, well, our culture is one that's all about ability or success, as your tweet to Justine mentioned. So it's no surprise that people with disabilities get patronised or sidelined. What do you think about that?
It does get frustrating, but you learn to live with it because you have to. I tend not to tell a lot of people what's wrong with me because they make assumptions about all sorts of things, including my intellect. So it doesn't matter if I go to a job interview with all the degrees and all the stuff that I've done. They immediately see disability first, which is quite unfortunate. So it's actually easier not to tell people most of the time. And if I go blue or I get breathless, I just say, oh, I've got asthma. And people are more willing to accept asthma as a normal thing than, you know, I've got a problem with my heart.
Jessica, you seem happy to share with us the nature of your disability, but has it always been like that?
When I was a kid, I was actually quite ashamed of it. I didn't know what was wrong with me, like what to call it. When we went to doctors, my dad had a little card in his wallet with my condition written on it. And he would go up to a doctor or a even a physio and take out this little card, hide it behind his hand and just kind of show it and said, this is what's wrong with her. And the doctor would then nod and the card would be put away in the pocket and then nothing more would be said. And so I got this sense that it was something to be ashamed of. I didn't obviously understand that my dad simply couldn't pronounce it. So I just felt that it was something that needed to be hidden away. But as an adult, I still tend to choose when I tell people. I tend to let them meet me first so they don't make assumptions.
Yeah, it's always nice to be thought of as a person rather than, you know, the features that might identify you and label you in people's eyes.
Yeah, and they will always make assumptions if I say I have a disability.
Mm. At what stage, Jessica, has this affected you all through your life, like when you were a small kid at school and that type of thing?
It did. It's a progressive disease, so I could still run around to some extent, which is where the asthma excuse came in, because I could stop and rest and then I'd be fine. And there were a few other kids at school who had asthma and who actually had worse breathing problems at the time than I did, so it was a legitimate excuse.
Did you have to have a false, you know, puffer or something to pretend you're on the Ventolin?
I'd pretend I'd forgotten it.
It's difficult to hear that because of the way that, you know, social attitudes go on about disability. You're made to feel like you're... Sorry, and I hope that drawing attention to it doesn't, you know, emphasise this even more. But it's like you're made to feel like you're completely different and there's something wrong. And when really what's wrong with you isn't so much the condition, it's just the way that it gets talked about and treated. I don't want to minimise, like, what you go through as well, but, you know.
I guess... My condition is just a secondary part of who I am. It's no different to someone having a limp, really.
Clearly, some disabilities are more disabling than others. For example, you know, I wear glasses, or a number of us wear glasses, but it doesn't impact our lives as much as it might. But what Reynolds has to say in this area is that all of us are born vulnerable, and that should be the common ground of our human experience, not this idea of are you able or are you disabled.
Yeah, Justine, I've heard you talk about this before, and I think this is a very interesting area. How does speaking about vulnerability rather than ability impact the way we think about disability?
Well, ability doesn't work because it actually assumes that everyone's on this level playing field and that mere human effort is what's going to get us anywhere. But vulnerability gives us a common ground, an actual common ground rather than ability, that from which we can speak. And that ends up disrupting the hierarchy that we often see between the disabled and the able-bodied. And Reynolds says that if we stress vulnerability and not ability as key to being human, then this means that everyone can be a part of the community without being made to feel like they're not contributing because they're not as able-bodied, let's say, as other people.
Yeah, it's a sort of thing where we all have to face up to eventually our vulnerability, even if we're able to convince ourselves for large swathes of our lives that we're not vulnerable. It will catch up with us.
Well, think about a baby as well. You know, we're actually born vulnerable, and we live vulnerable, and we die vulnerable. It's just the nature of our existence.
If you've just joined us on Life and Faith, we're speaking today with Jessica King, Justine Toews with me as well, and we're talking about disability and vulnerability. Now, Jessica, did you happen to come across this piece by Stella Young recently where she said this: screening fetuses and embryos for genetic conditions sends an implicit message that the lives of those of us who are living with these certain conditions are simply not worth as much, that our lives are of lesser value. I imagine you'd have some thoughts on that.
Yeah, actually, I had a conversation with somebody who had recently had the test, the amniocentesis for Down syndrome. And a lot of the reasons that they said they would terminate a pregnancy with Down syndrome was because of the impact it would have on their lifestyle and that of their children's. And I kind of pointed out to them that there's a possibility that your life will be enriched beyond what you could possibly imagine. And just because something is difficult doesn't mean that it's not worth it. And I think by removing the difference from our society and focusing on the perfection of people and aiming for a perfect society, which you can't achieve ultimately, is you're missing out on so much. And I think by taking away the people that need to be cared for, you're also removing a lot of compassion or the need to empathise with others. So I have a huge problem with screening for it, actually.
Mm. Now, this article concluded that we're all more than the sum of our DNA. So there's something to us beyond what our genes and our abilities say about us. And in that something lies our dignity and our worth, and the specialness of human life is evident here. And of course, Christians understand that to be the result of our being made in the image of God. Now, Reynolds, who Justine's been talking about today, also says that disability has a theological power. What did he mean by that, Justine?
Well, I'm just really struck by what Jessica had to say just now, that if we try and eliminate, let's say, imperfect, quote, members of our society, then we lose the capacity for compassion or empathy. And I think that disability, especially as Reynolds talks about it, as revealing our vulnerability, actually has theological power, in that it really shows our dependence on each other and our relationality. But he also goes further in saying that the way that vulnerability reveals our dependence on each other gets to the heart of what the Apostle Paul is saying when he says that God's power is made complete and perfected in weakness. So if we think about the Christian story, you know, we've got a perfect God in every sense of the word, taking on vulnerability, taking on mortality, and actually identifying with humanity, even at its lowest point, you know, its brokenness. It shows that disability in some ways exemplifies that that theological claim. And so I think that's what he's talking about here. This idea that, as I said, God doesn't remain remote and keep everyone else at arm's length, but actually gets down to humans and their level and actually identifies with them precisely in the ways that they are imperfect and that they are frail and mortal as well.
Yeah, this makes a lot of sense to me, this idea of vulnerability and then the links you're making there between that and who Christ is as he takes on our humanity and lives that perfectly, reflecting to us our own vulnerability, which we have to face up to eventually, don't we, Jessica?
Yeah, actually, when I first read the Reynolds sort of ideas, when he was talking about vulnerability, my initial reaction was a negative one, because I struggle my entire life to not appear vulnerable. And when I started thinking about it in the Christian perspective, I kind of thought, yes, actually, that's a really good way of looking at it. And it sort of took away a lot of the negativity of the idea of being vulnerable for me.
It's this sense of being reliant on God for everything in your life. Now, if you're someone who's feeling a whole lot of success about yourself and happy with your life and feeling invulnerable, and there are people who have that sort of aura about them, but of course we all know that eventually their vulnerability will catch up with them in one way or another. This seems to me a really crucial point of understanding what it is to be a human being, that we are all vulnerable and that we rely on each other in that vulnerability, and ultimately I guess you rely on God.
You're listening to Life and Faith from the Centre for Public Christianity.
Well, a lot of people, when I talk about my disability and then tell them I'm a Christian, they often think that I'm a Christian because I'm disabled, because I need something to cling on to. But I was actually a Christian long before I realised the significance of what was wrong with me. But it's been such an important thing through various health problems that I've had, because it gives me the ability to understand that, you know, I may have had to have surgeries and stuff like that, but it's not it for me. This is not what I'm going to be forever. But it also, it makes it much easier to cope with very, very difficult times. It was a time when I was in hospital for a month, brain surgery, very, very unwell. And it was in that time that I could see God's love. Other Christians, they would give me money. They didn't know me, but they were sending me money to pay for medications and scans and things like that. A huge amount of prayer. And it really meant a lot. And I think it helped me psychologically. It helped with the healing process, because there was the sense that I was not alone. I was not doing it on my own. I wasn't solely relying on the medical profession.
Jessica, you have this sense, perhaps a keener sense than some, that you're reliant on something beyond yourself. Is that a reasonable way of describing that?
Yeah. And I guess through being sick, I've been able to see God work in ways that I probably wouldn't have seen had I been a healthy person. So I actually feel quite privileged in that.
So finally, Jessica, what do you hope for in our society in terms of how we approach and welcome people with disability?
I would like it not to be that much of an issue. It's more to be more like, oh, okay, you can't use the stairs, we'll figure out a lift, and it not be any different than, say, someone breaking their leg and needing the same kind of thing. The government is introducing a disability insurance scheme. I hope that that works. I hope that that goes through. I fear that it won't. I just hope that we can be more accepting of people with difference, and it's just noted as that, not something that makes them less able.